Book of Numbers, chapter 13 this morning. We'll quickly get into our Sunday school this morning. You remember last week was about Miriam. That whole chapter is about Miriam and Aaron and their little puff up with Moses and how God dealt with that. Miriam was jealous and wanted something there, and God dealt with that and brings that up again in the book of Deuteronomy 24. They're getting real close to getting in victory. They're getting real close to getting into Canaan's land. They've endured through some temptations and some problems. And we get through the book of Numbers, we're going to go into the promised land, and we're going to look at battles in the Christian life that happened in the book of Joshua. But here in Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to read 16 verses. A lot of mayonnaise words in this right here, but they're there for a reason. I want to show you. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So this is the rulers of the children that they're sending. These are leadership. These are top-notch men that they're sending out. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. These are top-notch. This just ain't some flunky. These are some guys that they know that they're battle-strong, and they should be spiritual. Verse 4, and these were their names of the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zachor. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Egal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun, that's Joshua. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palati, the son of Rephu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susai. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Nahabi, the son of Boshai. Of the tribe of Gad, Gaul, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So Oshea, the son of Nun, is Joshua. Now, you know the story, if you've been in church any length of time whatsoever, that God, they sent spies out to spy out the land. They're real close to getting to victory. They're real close to getting over into Canaan's land. God promised them way back in Genesis. He promised Abraham. He said, Abraham, out of thy seed is going to possess this land. Abraham said, well, why can't we just go possess it now? And God said, well, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not full yet. So 400 and some odd years, they're real close right here to getting into the land. God gave those folks, and when we get to the book of Joshua, God's going to have them go in and kill everything in the land. They're going to kill the women, the children, the men, everything, the cattle. They're going to kill everything in the land. And then some people would rise up and say, well, that's awful cruel. God's a mean God. There's a spiritual lesson for us to learn that even the little children that die in there, God is showing us a lesson that little things can turn into big things if they let go, grow, grow, grow. So God wants the land purged when the children of Israel go into Canaan's land. And they're real close, and a lot of people get real close, man, to really walking in victory with God. That's what Canaan's land is a picture of, walking in that victory with God. Even when you get there, there's going to be battles, and we'll see that when we get to the book of Joshua. But I want to show you something real quick. Of these men's names in these 16 verses right here, we know people that are named Caleb. I mean, everybody in here knows somebody, or maybe somebody in your family, you know, that's named Caleb. I mean, Brother Nick's son, it goes here, is named Caleb. And everybody knows a Joshua. I mean, you've worked with Joshuas. Maybe there's Joshuas in your family or whatnot. But look down here at these men's names. Do you know anybody named Shemua in verse 4? No. Do you know anybody named Shaphat? No. What about Egal? Anybody know anybody named Egal in their family? How about Gadiel? No. How about Gadai? Anybody? What about Sether? Anybody know any Sethers? How about Amaliel? There's 10 names here that really we don't never, you don't name your children, amen. You don't name your children Judas. You don't do that. You don't name your children Lucifer. You don't name your children after the names of these people right here. You don't name your children that. People don't name their children that. Because why? Well, there's 10 names listed right here, of these spies. And we know of several Calebs. That's a pretty obvious name. And the Joshuas. We've known Joshuas and Joshes, all the relevant. But these are the disgraceful eight right here that's listed right here. And they're going to die pretty soon, too. And we put them out of our memory, out of our mind, things that we don't want to be remembered by. That's why we don't name our children after certain things, and because it just puts a bad memory there. You'll find that nobody names their children after these eight spies right here. They put them out of their memory. Why? Because they messed up. You also find with a disgraceful eight that the majority, Adonai, ain't always right. 80%. He sent 10 out. 80% said, we ain't got no business going over there. 20% said, we need to go. And that 80% that wasn't right at all. And that 80% is going to cause the whole bunch of them to really go 40 years longer than what they need to go. So, just because the majority says to do something, that don't make it right all the time, if it don't line up with God's Word. And so they're going against what God says right here. And so we don't name our children after these eight that are going to die here pretty soon. They're going to be out of mind and out of way. And they're the majority. And they're going to miss the will of God. These eight are going to miss the will of God. And not only are they going to miss the will of God, but they're going to cause 2 to 3 million other people to miss the will of God. And judgment's going to fall on them because of that. So you've got a story here in Numbers chapter 13 about the disgraceful eight that says we can't make it. And what did they do? How did they get to a place? They seen it. They went into Canaan's land. They spied it out. How do you get to a place in your life where you get so close to really walking in victory? You get so close to being where you need to be with God. How do you get to the place in your life to where things just don't go where they need to go? You make a mistake. What happens? And you end up dying in the wilderness. You end up missing the whole will of God. Well, I'm going to show you from this Numbers chapter 13 what happens to a lot of people. Yeah, they're out of Egypt. They're saved. They're in the wilderness. They've endured quite a bit. They've went through some hardships. They're real close. They're at Kadesh right here. Kadesh Barnea. They're real close to just walking right into Canaan's land. But they're going to miss it, and they're going to die here in the wilderness. And so many people I've seen, they get saved, they come to church, they're real close to really getting in victory. I mean, they're right there, and then something happens in them, and I'm going to show you what some things that happened here that gets them all out of whack, all out of sorts, and they never really reach where God wants them to be in their life. When you get over to the Canaan's land, we get in the book of Joshua, you're going to see that, yeah, they're going to fight, they're going to battle, and there's going to be issues, but they're going to have victory, and they're going to go. And they're going to go on and on. They're going to go through hills and valleys, just like a Christian walk. Everything ain't all smooth sailing, being a Christian. There's hills and valleys, there's problems that come up, but we as God's people got to learn how to get through these things and move on for the glory of God. If not, we're going to die here in the wilderness of no use to God whatsoever. So what happened? Well, they doubted God's word. I mean, God didn't even tell them to send out spies. God's allowing them to send out spies. And God knows what they're going to do. And God's showing us, Paul writes in Corinthians, that these things that happened to them for examples for us, for we could learn from them. And so these people right here doubted what God had said in His Word. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." Nobody does that. "And lean not to thine own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, Solomon said, "and lean not unto thy own understanding." I carried Adam's little boy around last Sunday and preached, and he takes me at his word. He trusts me. God wants you and I, folks, to trust Him and take Him at His Word. Well, even though it don't look so good sometimes, trust Him at His Word. Take Him at His Word. And lean not to their own. They know, these people know, God told them, you're going to possess the land. He said that more than one time. He's told Moses that. He's told them that. He told Abraham that. He's told them that for generations after generation after generation. But Woody, they didn't take God at His Word. They leaned on their own understanding. And when we lean on our own understanding, we're going to fall many, many times. So many times God tells us, trust me, trust me, trust me. And we lean on what we understand. But listen, whose mind can figure out God? God and what God's doing. God said in Isaiah, my ways are far above your ways. You know, who can understand the mind of God? Who can understand why God moves you in a certain direction or why God sends some things into your life that He sends? But God says, you just trust me. Take me at my word. I'm going to take care. God's bound by His word. He's always going to do what He says in His word. And He's never going to go against it. He promised them this. So they seen the giants and they seen the land. They seen there was a war in people and they got in their understanding, we just can't do it. So they doubted God. Just like a lot of people do. And they miss the will of God. They miss where God wants them to be because they doubt in God's word. What else did they do? Well, they disobeyed what God told them to do. God told them to go possess the land. 40 years are going to pass from this. They're going to die. 40 years are going to pass. Joshua's going to take them. One of these that I just read. Joshua's going to take them on over into the land. God had told them, possess the land. But they disobeyed what God had said to do. Listen to what God says about that. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion. You've heard this before. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. God says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected thee. Talking to Saul from being king. These folks doubted God's word. Not only did they doubt God's word, Randall, they know what God said, but they said, you know what? We're just going to go the other way. And they disobeyed what the God of heaven had told them and had commanded them to do. That scripture that I just read is about Saul. Now, if you ever want to read about a character in the Bible that was disobedient, that was rebellious, that was stubborn, that was full of witchcraft and idolatry, it is Saul. And it's a sad, sad, sad case study. But Saul, look here, Saul disobeyed what God had said right here in this chapter. He said, Saul, go down and kill them all. Saul, go down. Don't take nothing for yourself. Saul went down and kept the king, kept the best sheep, kept the best oxen. His sin, Samuel come, the prophet come. He said, your sin, I hear it bleating. Your sin tells on you. And instead of Saul repenting and getting right with God, Saul said, well, they said. They said. A lot of people disobey God's word because they said. They said. They said. They said do this and they said read that and they said go here. They said we better get away from they said and what God said. And so these folks right here, they're going to come back and they're going to tell the people what they've seen. And you know what the people are going to say? The people are going to say the same thing old Saul said. They said. Well, they said we can't conquer. And they said we can't have the land. And they said we can't do battle. And they said, they said, they said. And it's easy, folks, for you and I to disobey God's word when we listen to what they said rather than what God says. And so these spies, they doubted God's word. And these spies, they disobeyed what God had said to do. And God sent them into that land. And when they get in that land, they see grapes that it would took two men to carry on bunches. They said, it is a land flowing of milk and honey. It's a prosperous land. It's a wonderful, it's a very fertile land to raise cattle in and to farm in, which was a high commodity. I mean, it's a good place, but there are giants in the land. I mean, the Anakins are in that land. They're a giant race of people, warfaring people. And also the Amalekites are in the land. You remember what the Amalekites did to them? As soon as they got out of Egypt, old Amalek come up behind them and just wiped them out. They said, look, remember when that happened to us? We don't want to relive that again. And so, listen, we cannot, that is nice over there, but we cannot go in there and do that because we see all these other things. So they doubted God's word. Listen, they disobeyed what God had told them to do. And when they got in the land, Woodrow, guess what they did? They got distracted. They got distracted by what they seen all around them. Old King Jehoshaphat, and you see some examples of this all through the scripture. Old King Jehoshaphat, the battle, the armies was coming against him, and he went to praying to God. And God said this to King Jehoshaphat. He said, "Hearken ye, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And so they get in, they see all these things, and they're thinking, how in the world are we going to beat these people in Canaan's land? I mean, they're well trained, they're huge people, they're strong, we're just no match for them whatsoever. And they got distracted from being where they're supposed to be at with God because of what they seen. How many people miss God's will for their life because they doubt what God says? They just doubt Him, doubt Him, doubt Him. They lean on their own understanding. That's what these spies done. They doubted God's word. They just leaned on their own understanding. And then they knew what God said, but you know what? They're going to do what they're going to do anyway. How many people's like that in the house of God? Come and they'll hear preaching. They'll get to the back door right there, and that really moved me, and God really spoke to me, and they're going to go right out here, and they'll go up the road, and they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. And then they wonder why God don't bless them. Then they wonder why they don't have any blessings from God. Then they wonder why things don't work out in their life. Then they wonder why all this, because you disobeying what God's told you to do from the Word of God. And you're never going to have no victory, and you're never going to have any blessings when you go against what God says. He ain't going to bless you. He ain't going to help you. He ain't going to give you peace down in your heart and settledness down in there when you're in disobedience. He just ain't going to do it. And so they disobeyed. Then they got distracted. How many people we go out here and listen, if we live in a day and age where it's distractions, we live in it. I mean, more so than any other age that we live in. We are full of distractions, more so and more so. Back in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, these churches in our mountain areas were full to the brim every Sunday morning. Well, folks, they didn't have the distractions that they have now. Now you got T-ball at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings. You never did half of that. Now, listen, when you go out of here, we got these phones, and they could be used for a lot of good things, and computers, but they distract people. We've got all these things that keep folks distracted, all these issues that keep folks tied up and their minds distracted from where that they need to be with God. And so these folks right here, they knew where God had wanted them to be, but they got distracted by all these things surrounding them. Now, if you look at our community and our world today, you're thinking, well, what are we doing? We're just wasting our time. No, in our little area of the world that God has given us here, down here at the mouth of Little Robson Creek, this is our little area right here that God has set aside for us to go out here and conquer all the land that we could conquer. All that we can do for God, every little body we can get in the house of God, everybody that we can get saved, every backslider we can reclaim and get them right with God. That's what God has chose us and wants us to do right here. And these other churches, that's what God wants them to do also, is go out and claim this land. Take this land back that God has given us and reclaim it back for the glory of God. But we can't do it as a Christian if we walk around doubting what God says. If we walk around getting distracted by everything, we walk around in disobedience, we're going to be no use for God whatsoever. And do you know, if you look over to the next chapter, Numbers chapter 14, do you know what happens to you when you get in such a way to where you disobey God's word, where you get distracted by all these things, where you just doubt what God says to do? Brother and sister, it just don't affect you. Paul said in Romans, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Everything you do has a ripple effect on somebody else for generations to come. What you do affects your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren. Things that you do right now have a ripple effect upon your family. For you might even be dead in a grave, but it'll have a ripple effect what you do now. That's what happened here. But you know, because they did this, Brother Randall, Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Watch this. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, now this is about 2.5-3 million people. and all, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in this wilderness. Look what they say in verse 3. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make us a captain. We're going to vote you out, Moses. Let us make us a captain and let us return into Egypt. Listen, when people get to the place where they just doubt God's word, when they're in disobedience, when they get distracted, it discourages other people. There's other people that were sent back at the camp. They're on the edge of getting to Canaan's land. And they come back and they said, we just can't make it. And they cried. I mean, they wept and they said, we just need to go back to Egypt. Look what the devil does. When Egypt, you know what they was doing? They were slaves. They chopped mortar and hay all day long in the hot sun. They barely had enough to get by and eat. They was killed and beat and battered and under such great oppression that in Exodus chapter 1 and 2, they cried out, they sighed under God. They forgot about all that now. Now they want to go back to that old mess. But what you do, listen, what you do is when you get out of God's will, when you get out of sorts with God, and you get distracted and disobedient, doubt God's word, it discourages other people. Did you know that? As you know, you can be a faithful member of this church and love God, and something come up in your life, it'll have a ripple effect to the church. It'll discourage others if you fall out of church with God. You know that? If Adam falls out of church with God, he's got up and sang, he's been saved a little while now, he's got him a little testimony. If he falls out, it'll ripple effect. It'll discourage others in the house of God. It'll discourage other Christians that don't even go to church here. That's why it's so important that you guard your testimony, that you guard your life, because what you do can have a great discouragement on somebody else. It can cause somebody else to really go wrong direction. It can cause somebody else to really get out of sorts with God. You've got to protect your testimony, folks. You've got to protect your integrity. Well, how do I do that? You stay what you're doing this morning. You stay in the house of God. You come when you can. You put these things in place in your life. You get time along with God. Listen, and God will keep you, and God will protect you, and God will watch over you, and God will strengthen you. All God wanted them to do was trust Him. Remember when what's going to happen when they get into the Canaan's land? They're not going to fire the first shot. God's just going to have them walk around and blow a horn around a city. It's going to fall straight down on itself. That there's no way they could win the battle. But God's going to take that big victory over for them. But when you get out of will, God, when you get out of sorts, it's got a ripple effect, folks. These people right here, they whipped up their voice. They wanted to throw Moses out and Aaron out. Get us a captain. We need to go back. When they left Egypt, what was happening? Pharaoh was on their hide. He was going, and God parted the Red Sea. They went across on dry ground. They sung a new song over there. It's a picture of salvation. Now here it is a few days later, and look what they're getting at. Isn't that what people do? And it was all because 80%, the majority, said, can't do it, can't make it. Listen, we need to always try to encourage folks. Because, listen, there is enough discouragement anyway in our life. There's enough discouragement in our world. You as a brother or sister, encourage them. If you're going to say something that's going to discourage somebody, or you're going to say something that's going to bring them down, just keep it to yourself. We need to be picked up a little bit. Lord, have mercy. We all need a little encouragement from time to time. And so these folks here, they discourage them. Now, what else? Look what else happens. In Numbers chapter 14, look all the way down to verse 22. God says, start with verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory, these folks have seen the glory of God, and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Look what he says. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein to he went, and his seed shall possess it. What's God pardoning? God told Moses, I'm done. That's it. I'm killing this whole crowd out. I'm killing every single one of these suckers right now. I'm tired of dealing with them. He said, look, they've seen my miracles in Egypt. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, folks. They've seen water. God turned all the water to blood in Egypt. They've seen the hail balls come down. They've seen the lice come on the land and kill them. It didn't ever affect them in Goshen where they was at. They seen the Lord come through the land and the firstborn son dies. They seen the Red Sea part. They went over on dry ground. They seen the Red Sea come back and take up Pharaoh's army. They seen the cloud, the fire by night, the pillar, and they seen the pillar of cloud by day. Wait a minute. They heard the voice of God from heaven. I mean, not that they heard the audible voice of God from heaven descend upon the mount with Moses, and the mountain quaked. They heard it with their own two ears. They all fell down and said, you deal with him. They heard that. They seen manna just come out of heaven. This angel's food just drop down in their lap every morning. Truckloads and trainloads of it. Now they say, you want to go back to... Can you see how your heart is? People say, well, if I just had a miracle, Brother Kevin. No, it wouldn't help you a bit. If I just had a dream, that'd help me. It ain't going to help you a bit. They had all kinds of them. Paul said they're examples to us. Well, if I just had this move in my life. No, that'd help you for a minute. Then you get over at and you have to see something else. God says, you take me at my word. He's going to take out the whole crowd. Moses intercedes for them again. Now think about what a man Moses is, Randall. They want to throw him out. They murmur him. They complain against him. When God's wanting to take it, boy, he's got a heart for these people and he loves them. He says, God, don't kill them. Don't kill them. He said, God, if you kill them, Egypt's going to say, look here, God took them out there, take them out. And they're not going to have a name for you. Don't kill them, God. And Moses prays for them. And God says, I'm going to pardon them. He said, but they're not going to make it. They're not going to make God's will. They're not going to make where they need to be in their life. He said, I'm going to make sure they don't. I'm going to drop them all in the wilderness. They're not going to make where I intended them to be. He said, other than Caleb. And we know Joshua's going to lead them out. But God said in verse 24 that Caleb had another spirit with him. And fully, watch this, fully have followed me fully. He's got another spirit with him, and he's followed me fully. Well, what about these others? What kind of spirit do they have with them? They had a spirit of grumbling. They had a spirit of complaining. They had a spirit of defeat. They had all this spirit of discouragement. They had a spirit of depression. They had a spirit of we're losers. That's the kind of spirit that they had with them. You know, when people come into church today, you got a spirit about you. Did you know that? You got a spirit about you. Caleb had a different spirit than the rest of them did. Caleb believed God. Caleb said, I'm going to go with God, and I'm going to follow God fully. These folks, they didn't have that spirit. They didn't have that. You said, well, I'm saved, Brother Kevin. You know, you can be saved by the grace of God and have the Holy Spirit within you, and you can be influenced by a wrong spirit. Did you know that? I can show you proof of that in the Bible. Jesus told James and John, go down to Samaria and get them ready. I'm coming down that way. James and John, now the sons of thunder. James, who's going to be the first martyr, going to get his head cut off in the book of Acts for Jesus Christ. Ain't none of us lost our head for Jesus. He's a pretty good boy, wasn't he? Pretty good, strong Christian, wasn't he? James was. John's going to write John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, the one that laid upon Jesus' breast. The disciple whom I'm loved wrote 5 books of your Bible. With the Isle of Patmos being boiled in oil, wrote the book of Revelation. Pretty spiritual man, wouldn't you think? Seen a whole lot of things. A whole lot more than what we are. He said, James and John, go down to Samaria and get them ready. James and John goes down there, Ricky, and they preach, and not one person heard a thing they said. They didn't. They did like some of them do here. They look at their watch. They look at everybody else, see what Sister High Squeal's doing, scratch their ears, you know, see what Brother Wigglejaw's into. See if that's what they do. That's what a lot of them do here. And every church you go to is what they do. So James and John go down, And they preach, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. They just going, them Samaritans just going on about their business. They don't care. Well, Jesus comes into town. The Bible says he had his face set as to go to Jerusalem. And nobody comes out to see Jesus. Nobody gets excited about Jesus coming down. And James and John said this, Lord, you want us to just call down fire from heaven on this bunch and just take them out like Elijah done? I'd say that sounded pretty spiritual, don't you? I'd say that sounded pretty good. They like that. Well, look here, Lord, we're tired of fools. Just send down fire and let's take out this whole bunch of devils. Bible says Jesus turned and rebuked them. He rebuked them, and this is what Jesus said. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit, not flesh. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. He said, because the Son of Man came not to destroy men's life, but to save sinners. He said, I didn't come down here to destroy these people's lives. I come to save sinners. He rebuked them. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. Well, you got to watch your spirit sometimes, people. What's influencing your spirit? Anything influencing you to doubt God's word? Anything influencing you to go against what God says? Anything getting your mind off where it needs to be? Anything getting you to be just in a way of discouragement? That's not of God. And anything that just makes you mean as hell ain't of God either. You got to check what spirit you are of. He said, Caleb ain't like this. He said, he got a different spirit about him. You know, you get influenced by a spirit. The spirit influence. You could be in the wrong spirit. I have been in the wrong spirit before. I've said things in a wrong spirit. I've done things in a wrong. You devil possessed? No. I'm Christian. I'm possessed by the Holy Ghost of God. But I've gotten the wrong actions before. I've got out of sorts before, Woodrow. I've gotten the wrong spirit in a bad way. And like old James and John, Randall, Jesus rebukes me and says, buddy, you're in the wrong spirit. And I got to get it fixed up fast. These boys right here, all eight of them, they wasn't in the right spirit. Old Caleb, the Bible says, watch this in verse 24. He has another spirit with him and have followed me fully. See, some people follow God, but they don't follow God fully. They follow him, but they don't follow him fully. John followed Jesus fully. Peter did not follow him fully. John stayed right with him out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Nobody questioned John, said, hey, are you one of them? They knew John was riding with Jesus. Nobody questioned him. They didn't question John's speech. Peter didn't follow him fully. Peter followed him how? Afar off. Warmed himself by the fire, the world's fire. And they began to say, well, your speech betrayeth thee. I think you were not. I'm not like him. I'm not. But nobody did that to John because John was fully involved. John went with him all the way to when he's on the cross. Jesus told John, said, take care of my mother. Peter wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. A lot of people follow, but they don't follow him fully. A lot of people say, brother, I love church and I'm so spiritual and everything. Where are they at on Wednesday night? If they ain't sick or like I was, got behind a wreck here, got me tied up. I mean, I'm just talking about this lad at the house. Where are they at? Where are they at this morning? Here you all are. I about know coming down the road who's going to be sitting here on Sunday mornings. Don't never come. Truth, ain't it, folks? I'm about to depend on who's going to be here on Sunday mornings. We got something going on. Follow the Lord fully. Get where they need to be fully. Fully committed. I mean, man, just fully. Just jump right on in. Try to do what they need to do for God. It ain't got nothing to do with me or our building or our sign. Man, they just love Jesus and they're just fully, man, they're just right. They just want to do what's right for God. They want to grow and learn. Fully. You see God work in their lives. Does that mean their life is easy? I'm going to use Randall and Tiffany. I love them. They are very committed. They're fully committed. Has their life been easy? No. And there's other ones in here too, but I'm just using them as sitting right here. No, but they keep on coming. They keep on coming, faithful. Hard times, good times, hills and valleys. And that's what you got to do, folks. That's what you got to do. Caleb had another spirit and he was fully, fully committed. Numbers chapter 14, 29, 30. I'm going to close with this. God said, your carcasses, verse 29, shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, 20 and upward, he said. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. See, they said, we can't go over. And they blamed it on their children. They blamed it on their kids. They said, we can't go over there because our little ones will get hurt over there. God said, because you blamed it on them kids, and you don't want to go because them kids. He said, I'm going to let them kids get on over there, but your old sorry hide is going to die. That's what he said, carcasses. He said, your sorry hide is going to die in the wilderness. I'm going to let your kids go over there so I can help them with something. That's what he said. They missed it, buddy. Randall, they doubted God's word. They doubted God's word. They missed it. They was disobedient to what God said to do. But they missed it. They got distracted, Adam, by things that they seen when they got over to Canaan's land. And they missed it. They discouraged other people. They missed it. They didn't make it into God's will for their life. They missed it. They died, Ricky. Right there in the wilderness, they died. They missed God's will and plan for their life. The disgraceful eight. How sad. How sad. Let's all stand this morning. I love Sunday school, Aaron. Helps you, don't it?